One, I got a little more reading to do than I normally do in a message, but it won't make a lot of sense if I don't get a certain amount of things read, and really goes to the points that I want to talk about. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And the Bible says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say to Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds, with wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay, he slept under a juniper tree, and behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Rise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again tonight, and Lord, help us to be prepared to take our distractions away. Lord, help us to focus on you, your word, Lord, what you have for us tonight. We'll commit this service to your care. Lord, thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do in our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Looking for the Blessing of God. Looking for the Blessing of God. Just to get you up to speed, about 3 years before where I started in chapter 18, 3 years before that, Elisha had predicted word from God. He predicted that there would be a three-year drought. There was going to be 3 years of drought. And God had promised drought to his people if they had forsook him for other gods. And of course, Elijah said two times that that's what the people had done, that they had slain the prophets and they had forsaken him and worshiped false gods. He had said that twice. We know that to be true. And then, of course, after that happened, after he told him about the drought, God said, listen, it took Elijah, sent him to Cherith, by the brook Cherith, and he was able to have water. It was a place where water, remember the story, and the ravens brought him meat, and the ravens fed him there every day. And when the brook dried up, God said, listen, I want you to go to Zarephath. There's going to be a widow woman there. You remember that widow woman? And he went up to her, and she just had a little bit of meal in a barrel and a little bit of oil in a cruse. And she said, I'm just going to make a cake, and my husband and I, my son and I, we're going to eat that cake. And then we're going to die. That's it. That's all we got. That's what he was saying. All I've got is this. He said, all I've got is this little bit of food. We're going to eat it. And then we're going to die. We don't have anything else. But you know the story. The cruise didn't run out. He said, fear not. Put God first. The cruise won't run out. The meal won't run out. And it didn't. And so God blessed him there at Zarephath. And then right after that was when, and right before this drought ended, was the place where Elijah had gone up against the 850 false prophets of Baal, stood up there, and he said, hey, you call on your God. And he said, I'll call on mine. And the God that answers by fire, he's going to be God, right? All the people were standing around, and you know how the story went. Boy, they called on their God, and nothing happened. And boy, they cut themselves, and they cried, and they went all day. And Elijah got kind of smart alecky, and he said, well, maybe your God's busy. You know, maybe he's taking a trip. And nothing happened. And, then so Elijah got up there. And he called on, he had to tore the altar down and fixed it back up and put a bullock on it. And boy, he had him take 4 barrels of water. And that was a miracle in itself because remember, they'd been in a 3-year drought. 4 barrels of water was like gold, man. They took 4 barrels of water, and that's a good, I'm not preaching on this tonight, but boy, what an illustration of giving God the best you got. Giving God something that cost you something. Giving God your very best. And so he took them barrels of water, and they threw all over the thing, and you know what happened? He called on his God, and the fire came down. It burned up the sacrifice, burned up the dust even. It said, man, it licked up the dust. So that had happened. And then he got to this section that we're at right now. And you know what happened, though? I want you to point this out, and I didn't read that. But right after that, when that happened and the fire came down, remember he had said, whoever answers by fire, that he's going to be the true God. And you know what all the people did? They said, the Lord, he is God. That word Lord, that's Jehovah. That's the true God. They said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And what happened right after that was Elijah went and he told his servant, he said, go look and see if you see anything coming. And he said, I don't see nothing. He said, go look 7 times. And he said, I see a cloud coming. He said, I see a cloud coming about the size of a man's hand, or it looks like a man's hand. And he said, so the rain came back. See what happened? The people had finally said, the Lord, he's God. It was after the defeat of the 850 prophets of Baal. That's when God sent the rain back. And so, I want to talk to you tonight about looking for the blessing of God. Ahab, as I said, sent his servant, looked 7 times, and finally he says, well, I see this little cloud. It's just about like a man's hand right there. And remember, this is after everything that had happened. I mean, I'd have liked to have been there at Carmel. I always liked that story. Get up there, you call on your God and I'll call on mine. And Elijah started calling on the God Almighty, man, and fire shot down out of there, burned up that sacrifice, that altar, burned up the dust on the ground. Wouldn't you like to see something like that? But God doesn't always appear in a spectacular way. Huh? Sometimes we're looking for the blessings of God. We want something big to happen. Like, we wake up in the morning and a Rolls Royce is in the driveway. That would be big, right? I mean, sometimes we're looking for something big, but that's not always how it works. He said, it hadn't rained in 3 years. I remember we had a drought, kind of a drought period. Oh, it might have been 10, 15 years ago now. Remember, there was one summer, man, it got dry, didn't rain for I don't know how many weeks. It was a long time, it hadn't rained. And when it finally, it was one day, man, it started thunder and it got cloudy. And man, I went out on the carport. We lived over on Cedar Bluff, and I remember I went out there. Man, you could smell it. I mean, and it was them big drops started coming down. I just stared. I was looking. I was so glad to see it and smell it and watch it coming down. But they looked out there, and he said, man, you're looking for a rainstorm, and it's just a small cloud way off in the distance. It was something small, but he was looking there. And it's not always the spectacular way or always even big things. Sometimes with prayers that we pray. We pray for loved ones. We pray for circumstances. We pray for many different things. And sometimes in the course of those prayers, man, we want God to like, God, here's the problem. Fix the problem like right now. You know, fix that problem. And sometimes it's just something small. You know, just something small that God kind of starts bringing our way. And sometimes we got to look for that instead of something big and spectacular or the whole thing taken care of, you know, at one time. And so small blessings, the first fruits, a sign of things to come. God had told Elijah over there when he was standing in the cave. He said, listen, there's wind. He said, but I'm not in the wind. There's an earthquake. He said, but I'm not in the earthquake. He said, that there's a fire. He said, but I'm not in the fire. He said, this is still small voice. So sometimes we want God to speak in a big way, but we have to be looking for the small things. We have to look at the small things. So just a few points on looking for the blessings of God. I want to talk to you and use a lot of these texts that we have here tonight. Number one, the very first thing about looking for the blessings of God is you got to look in the right direction. You got to look in the right direction. They say that Elijah, and he told him to look a certain way. He told his servant, he said, I want you to go look. And he looked to the west, towards the Mediterranean Sea, and in that part of the country. And you know how it is around here. It's usually about the same way where the storm or rain would come from. Going to be from the west or the south, that you can just about bet on it. That's usually where the rain came from. He said, I want you to go look towards the sea. It was the Mediterranean Sea, and from where he was, he would have been looking west, and that's where the rain would come from. And, you know, here's the thing. There was a lot of directions that guy could have looked at, that servant that he sent. He could have looked 360 degrees. He could have looked, you know, north and south and east, but the rain was only going to come from one direction. It was coming from the west. And you know, that's the same thing when we look for the blessings of God in our life. They're really only going to come from one direction. I mean, it's going to be from the direction of God. Like I said this morning about old Zacchaeus, he ran down there and got in that sycamore tree. It said he ran out ahead. He ran the way that Christ was coming. It wasn't going to do no good to run to the back where Christ had already been to have a meeting with Jesus. He had to get on where Christ was coming to, and he got to that point. Well, it's the same here when we look for the blessings of God. Listen, I mean, the things of God. Where are you going to get a blessing from God tonight? It's not going to be sitting at home. It's not going to be hanging out down there at the bar. It's not going to be at work. It's not going to be, you know, it's not that God can't bless in some of those places, but the thing is, the real place, you got to look in the right direction. You got to get around the people of God, the house of God, the Word of God, you know, praying to God. That's the place that we're going to get a blessing from God. Listen, we had a revival meeting all week. We had people down here every night of the week. Man, we were coming down here. I think that's where we got a blessing. Would you have experienced that at the house? I don't think you would. It wouldn't have been the same way. It wouldn't have been the same thing. It's not that you can't pray to God and read your Bible and this and that, but I mean, really, if you want something above and beyond what you normally see or hear or feel, you know, you got to get in the right place in the right direction. And so, you know, how many people are looking everywhere but in the direction of God? You know, it was, like I said, it was a blessing last week. Joy, love, fellowship, soul saved, heart dealt with. Where else were you going to find that? Huh? Where else were people going to be getting saved? You going to go down here to the bar down here on the side of the road? Anybody in there getting saved? Probably get your nose broke off in there or something like that. Get a bad headache in there, but you're not gonna get a blessing from God down there. I mean, you know, it's where are you gonna look? And this world, listen, it's trying to tell you otherwise. You know, you're not gonna find those blessings there. You just have to look. I'll probably touch that in another point here in a minute, but we have to look in the right place. Listen, the ball game, all those places there, not gonna be finding usually the blessings of God there. You got to look in the right direction. The second thing, you got to look in the right place. You got to look in the right place. And, you know, Elisha had balled himself up there. It said that he put his head between his knees. That's kind of the fetal position there. And he prayed. Now, I like the fact, what I like about Elisha is he said, you just go look for the rain. He already knew God was going to give it. And he said, but I'm going to pray, right? I mean, he already knew that the blessings come from God. He already knew that God was going to bless, but yet he still prayed. And the servant went the first time. How come God didn't show that servant that little small cloud coming the first time? I don't know. You don't have the answer? Not exactly. No, I don't. He told him he had to go seven times. I don't, you know, seven is a number of completeness in the Bible. I understand that. We can speculate. A lot of people get real deep right here. Well, you know, it's number of complete. Listen, he could have looked the first time and there could have been a cloud. Huh? Matter of fact, he didn't even really have to look. If it's going to rain, it's going to rain. But you know what? He was anticipation. It's expectation. He's looking for something from God. He said, well, just look seven times. It's coming. He got down there and prayed, and he knew it was coming, man. So, I mean, he got there, and he looked. It's like, look at this, the Word of God right here. I'm telling you what, man, this is Sunday. It's Sunday. We preach out of the Word of God. We preach out of the Word of God every night last week. We preach out of the Word of God in Sunday school. We're preaching out of the Word of God tonight. Don't let the Bible lay on the coffee table till Wednesday night before you come to prayer meeting. Amen. I mean, you know, you're not going to get anything, any direction, any blessing. It's going to come from the Word of God. That's the place that you get, you know, the right place. And you got to get there to have a blessing from God. And so when Elijah said, listen, remember now, he hadn't balled up and prayed. He said, you go look for the rain. Then he balled up and prayed. He was banking on the promise of God and God's word. God had said, if you forsake me for them idols, I'm going to send a drought. And all through the Bible, they used a drought a lot of times as a judgment of God, right? There was a drought. All through the Bible, there was judgment. And so he said, listen, God had promised them a couple places, Deuteronomy 1. He said, listen, if you forsake me for them false idols, I'm going to send a drought to chasten you with. Well, what happened on Mount Carmel? They said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You bet. Huh? The fire just came down from heaven. The Lord, he is God. All right, they confessed. They forsook temporarily those false idols. Well, guess what? God said, all right, I'm going to send the rain back. He had a promise from the Word of God, and that's where the encouragement is. I like the verses in the Bible. There's tons of them. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Huh? I like that. I'll never leave thee, forsake thee. Sometimes when I'm struggling, sometimes when I've got to do something I don't want to do, sometimes when I'm getting ready to preach, a lot of times when I'm getting ready to preach, I like the verses that says that I can bank on that tells me that the Lord Jesus is praying for me. Man, if that don't encourage you right there, I don't know nothing else. There's nothing else going to do it. Huh? There's nothing else going to do it. It says that the Lord is praying for you. He prays for you too. See, here's the thing about God. He wants us to be successful. Now, maybe not successful in the eyes of the world. Maybe not successful the way we think. But being a successful Christian, yeah. Yeah, Philip was praying up here. What a blessing that was. Lord, be with me this week. Man, help me, you know, help me get. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is praying for you to get through. And if you just keep that thought in your mind that Jesus is praying for me, Jesus is praying for me. He wants us to be a successful Christian. He wants us to represent him well on earth. I mean, he's given us every resource. We got prayer. We got the church. We got the Word of God. We've got each other. He's given us everything to succeed. He wants us. So that's a promise from God. He said, look, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. And he had just got done talking about the raiment and the lilies of the field and the fowls of the air having everything they need to live. You know, you don't think them birds are out there flying around. I got a bird feeder and they're out there, and them stupid squirrels. I got a BB gun too, and they won't stay out of my bird feeder, man. They slick by that door. I gotta oil my door because I get the BB gun pumped up in the garage. That squirrel. And he was sitting there. It was a Mexican standoff. I got the gun in this hand. I'm trying to get the door open wide enough to get him. And he finally just said, man, I'm out of here, man. He went running out of there, and I couldn't get him. Huh? Man, now I'm trying to feed them birds. But them birds don't sweat the load all year long. Wonder what we're going to do this winter. I don't know, man. You know, what are we going to do? I wonder how we're going to make it. Huh? You think the birds is out there worrying about that? Huh? God takes care of them. The deers and the squirrels and all that stuff. I help them a little. Huh? But God takes care of them, and God told us the same thing. Listen, we're the only ones made in his image. We're the capstone of his creation, human beings. We're the only ones that have a spiritual capacity that we can worship God, that we can pray to God, that we can understand it. God's going to take care of deer, squirrels, raccoons, possums, stink bugs, all that stuff, and he's not going to take care of us? Huh? No. He said, listen, if you seek me first, all this other stuff that you're worrying yourself to death, I'm going to give it to you. I like that. That's an encouraging thing. He didn't tell you not to work. He didn't say go sit on your duffer and wait for the money to roll in like Psychic Friends Network said. I mean, he did say by the sweat of your brow, you will earn your bread. You do have to go to work, but he gives you the health for that. and those things right there. So, listen, you know, we just got to get to this place right here. Forget about the newspapers, the funny papers, those romance novels, whatever. Get in the Word of God, the place of blessing. The house of God, man, the place of blessing. It's one of the places of blessing. Get in the right, you know, look in the right direction. Look in the right place. And then here, look in the right person. The third thing, look in the right person. You know, here's the thing about Elijah's kind of, he's kind of a contradiction, but he's really a whole lot like us. He's really a lot like us. I've always said, man, I'd like to have been like, in a way, I used to say, of course, I studied the Bible more, now I don't say it. But I used to say, man, I'd like to be like them Old Testament prophets. Boy, fire come down, whoo, me, you teenager goofing off, whoo, you know, somebody fall asleep, whoo, you know. I mean, boom, 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 you'd be burnt spots all over the place. Huh? Keep your upholstery people in business. I like to do that, but I'm going to tell you, them prophets, man, they went up against it, man. People was always wanting to kill them. They were running for their lives. A lot of them didn't get killed. Man, after looking at that, I don't know, but Elijah's a lot like we are, you know, and I'll show it to you here in just a second. He's a whole lot like we are right there. Elijah had seen God work mighty wonders. I mean, powerful displays. Like I said, man, he had. We already talked about the 850 prophets of Baal that he went up against. He slew them. Ain't no wonder he had to go out and rest and sleep and then eat. And then wake up and sleep and eat again and rest because, man, I mean, killing 850 people with a sword, that's a job right there, huh? That's a job. And God had given the victory over that. And then right here in 1841, when you get down there in verse 46, after this thing with the rain, which was right after the battle of the going up against them false prophets, he prayed. It says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins. They had long robes, so he tied them up. And it said he ran before Ahab. Ahab's riding in a chariot. And it said that Elijah outran the chariot and got to Jezreel before he did. I mean, man, he ran in the strength of that. That was a mighty demonstration of the power of God, the hand of God on his life there. And then, old Jezebel, when Ahab in chapter 19, when it gets started, see, old Jezebel hadn't heard it yet about Elijah killing the 850 prophets of Baal. And she puts out that threat. She said, you know, God do so to me, if I don't do so to you, within 24 hours, you're going to be dead like them prophets of mine that you killed, dead. That's what she said. And what happened? Old Elijah, man, he got panicky. He took off and ran and went down there to another city, Beersheba, I think it was, ran to a city, and then he left his servant behind. And he went out into the desert, a day's journey out to the desert, and he got down and sat down under a juniper tree up there in verse 4 of chapter 19. And he was afraid, and he was defeated, but he didn't need to be. What happened to him? What happened to him? Here's a man that called fire down out of heaven. Here's a man that had just ran faster than a chariot being pulled by a horse or two, outran that. I mean, he had been fed. God hadn't never left him or forsook him. He was fed him at the brook. He fed. Had ravens bringing them T-bone steaks in every night. He was eating them things. Went to a widow woman, saw a barrel of meal that never ran out, and a cruise that never run out, the hand of God. I mean, this was obvious. And now old Jezebel threatens him. See what a woman can do to you? Men, you're supposed to say amen right there. Right? What, y'all miss that? All the ones that got their wives with them, they're just sitting there now. Took, afraid, discouraged, defeated. Listen, what happened to him? He wasn't looking in the right place. He started looking at Jezebel, and he started looking at them threats, and he started looking at the circumstances that were on the outside. He started looking at that, and it said that, and he was afraid. Man, you're thinking, you and I are thinking, man alive, if we had that kind of power, I wouldn't be afraid of nothing. You do. You do have that kind of power. If you're saved, man, you got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. It's the same God. It's the same God. I don't know that fire's going to come down out of heaven, but it could. But we got the Holy Spirit dwelling. We got a little advantage that Elijah, the Holy Spirit came and went. We got the Holy Spirit as a permanent possession. He's in us, man. We got power. We don't have to look at the circumstances anymore than he did. But that's what happened. He was looking at Jezebel instead of God. He was looking at the enemy, looking at the circumstances, looking at the difficulties. And those things don't need to defeat us. And he said that he ran out in the desert. But I like this. This will encourage you right here. God didn't give up on him. God didn't give up on him. Man, he's under a juniper tree. That juniper tree, I think they call it a broom tree in that part of the country. They say it gives shade, but not much. It's just a little, you know, it kind of goes up to about 12 feet. And, you know, out in the desert, I mean, you kind of got to keep moving yourself to get around. You know, the shade, as the sun goes around, it moves. And he got under that thing, and then he was about to die. An angel came, touched him, woke him up. He said, here, eat and drink. Got something to eat, got something to drink. He was so tired. Slew 450 or 850 prophets of Baal. Outran Ahab's chariot. Man, now he's done fled. He got up, ate, went back to sleep, rested again. He got up again. Angel told him, eat and drink again. I like that. I mean, God didn't give up on him. He said, you're going to need the strength. And it said in that strength that he went 40 days and 40 nights, never had to eat and drink again. 40 days and 40 nights in the strength right there. And so, he needed his rest, I would guess we would say. And God showed him some things. He got, and after he left there, he went and got in that cave. He got up in a cave, and God said, let me show you something. He showed him the wind. He showed him the earthquake, and he showed him the fire. And then he said to him, you know what? I'm not in those things. Now, God's in control of them, but he said, that's not it. I think once again, right back, looking for the blessings of God. Was he looking for something spectacular again? I don't know his heart. But he's looking for something spectacular. And he said, God said, listen, I'm not in them. I could use them. He'd already used fire. He said, I could use them, but I'm not in it. And there was a still small voice. Just listen to me. That still small voice. Why do you think he did that? Well, I thought about it. He didn't want Elijah worshiping the wind. He didn't want Elijah worshiping the earthquake. He didn't want Elijah worshiping the fire. He wanted Elijah worshiping him. He wanted him. And sometimes, see, we got a problem right there. Instead of trusting and worshiping God, we start trusting and really putting our faith in the method more than the man, Jesus himself. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you start worshiping the blessing more than the blesser. Boy, you go out here, man, God gives you good health, gives you a good job, gives you strength to do your job. Man, next thing you know, you're buying a bass boat and a camper and all this other stuff. And the next thing you know, you're not in church anywhere because you're out on the bass boat. You're out on the camping trip. You're out building on the big house that God blessed you with. So all the blessings actually become a hindrance to you worshiping God. So he don't want him focusing on that. He said, listen, man, I know it looks cool. The big wind, the big earthquake, looks like power. I don't want you worshiping that power. I don't want you worshiping the fire. He said, I want you worshiping me, just a still small voice. He said, I want you to listen to that still small voice. So you have to look at the right person. Now here's another thing. Here's the thing you can look at. Look at the past. Look at the past. I believe Elijah had done forgot. He done forgot about what happened back there at Cherith when the ravens flew in. He's done forgot about that widow woman at Zarephath didn't have nothing. The last person in the world that you'd want to go to help you live is somebody that's about to make their last little cake and die. But God said, I support you there. He done forgot about it. He done forgot about 850 prophets of Baal. You think those guys just stood around and let him kill them? I don't know. He forgot about that. I like to listen to different kinds of music. Sherry and I listened to this one. I showed it to Dwayne. It's a fella. I guess he's dead now. I'm pretty sure he's dead. It's old. It's black fella, black gospel music. His name's Lee Williams, and he is singing. You know those guys. This guy was like a preacher. He would preach, but yet he would sing. He would kind of sing. He'd get to preaching somebody. He was really a singer, but he could really preach a message. And man, he'd get that, you know, in the Lord. He'd kind of get a little singing along there. And man, that guy could sweat. I wish I could sweat like that. I can't hardly sweat. I don't care how. It's got to really be hot for me to be sweating. But man, he was a little skinny guy, man. And he was preaching and sweating. But there's a song he sang, and it said, I've come too far to turn back now. Come too far to turn back now. And he talked about how sometimes, man, he said, you know, he talked about people that, he said, you know, he didn't have a problem. I'm going to paraphrase it, but, you know, there's people that, you know, they don't like you to start with. And he said, it's one thing when they stab you in the back, But he said, I'll tell you what, when your friends, the ones that smile in your face and shake your hand, when they stab you in the back, he said, man, I mean, it's discouraging. It's hurtful. And he said, I'll tell you what, man, he goes, sometimes I feel like just throwing up my hands and giving up. And this is about the time he starts singing. But he got to singing. He said, listen, I've looked back. He said, I wanted to quit. And he said, but I looked back behind me. And he said, I saw them hills and more hills and more hills and more hills that God done brought me over already. He looked back at that. And he said, man, then I look back. He said, some I look in front of me and I see hills and hills and hills and hills. But he said, I know God's going to take me over them hills right there too. I mean, sometimes you got to look back and say, look what God's already brought me through. God's already got me to this point. God's already, you know, blessed me and taken care of me and all the things. People all the time, I counsel people, man, they come in, oh, pastor, man, I got the biggest crisis that I've ever had in all my life. And boy, I mean, and, you know, and at that time it feels like it and I don't know what I'm going to do. And man, you know, I usually say, wait about 3 months. About 3 months from now, this ain't going to seem like nothing. Huh? How many times can you remember that? Remember crises in your life and times in your life? You think, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. The world's going to come and you lay in bed and then you're awake and you can't sleep and you're gnawing on this and that and pacing the floor and, you know, taking medications and everything. And then 3 months later, like the Bible says, this too shall pass. And guess what? You're going, ah, yeah, no big deal. Huh? God took care of it. You got to look back at that. You got to look back at how many times God took care of you. And what happened was, Elijah, he quit looking back. Man, he's just looking at what was going on right at the right now. He looked at the circumstances and he forgot about all those things right there. So sometimes for the blessings of God, just look back. When it gets right down to it, God don't have to bless us no more. He's done enough. Really? I mean, man, salvation, sent his son, died. Huh? Took care of us. Man, I'm telling you, he don't have to do a thing. But man, he blesses when we look back right there. You know what? Here's what I like, though. Here's a look when you think about Elijah's life. You know what? When he got to that widow woman at Zarephath, and he said, well, she said, I just got a little bit of meal and oil. And she said, well, you know what? I'm gathering up a few sticks here. I'm going to bake a cake, and we're going to die. He said, well, I'll tell you what. Bake a cake for me first. Nice of him. Bake a cake for me first. And he said, and then God will bless you. Paraphrasing a little bit. But you know what he told her? Be not afraid. Huh? He told her, he said, look, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and make a cake and give it to me and see what happens in the meal oil. Now who's afraid? Huh? You know how many times we do that? Yeah, you know, somebody else gets cancer and we say, well, you know, don't worry about it, brother. God's in control. Yeah, we're going to pray for you. It's all right. But when you're the one that's got it, huh? You get a little, you know, I got a little handkerchief up here left over from Dwayne. Huh? When you're the one that's got it, when you got a problem, I mean, when you're going through it, see, it's easy to tell everybody else, don't be afraid. But when you know, and Elijah told her, said, don't be afraid. But now he forgot to look at what happened back there. And now he's the one, he ran for his life, ran from Jezebel, just ran from a threat, killed 850 men, prophets of Baal. And now he's got a woman after him. He's worried. He done ran off and went into the desert. Now he's up in a cave somewhere, hiding out in a cave. Man, he forgot about those things. Instead of resting in God, he ran for his life. Amen. And then he told the Lord, he reminded the Lord in chapter 19, verse 14. Look what he said. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel. I have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. He reminded God about his prophets that he got slain. But he forgot about the 850 prophets that God had slain. You know, he forgot about that. You know that old story about a pessimist and an optimist and a pessimist? You know, there's a little story about that boy, little boy, they put him in a room. It's just filled with horse manure. He's an optimist. Filled with horse manure. Man, he's in there just having a ball, slinging horse manure all over the place, having a good time. And finally, a guy looked in there, he's watching, and he looked in there and said, hey, man, he said, how come you're so happy? He said, you know, in here and just sitting in a room full of horse manure, you throw it all over the place. He said, man, with all this horse manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. That's an optimist right there, right? There got to be one in here somewhere. Yeah? He's looking for something. And so, you know what? He forgot about the fact, hey, but God could have said, look, man, yeah, but you were there when we took care of 850 of them. You know, he didn't forget about that. So you look at things, is the glass half full or half empty? Right now, in Elijah's mind, the glass is half empty, but actually the glass was half full, more than half full right there. So he looked at the past. And then another thing, look at the future. Elijah was in a cave now. And God kind of came up. The Lord came to him and said, what are you doing in here? What are you doing in a cave? I mean, this guy's a prophet. Elijah, I mean, God had used him in a mighty way. He said, what are you doing in a cave? You know, he didn't ask him in the desert, what are you doing in the desert? And back to that story, I think, listen, God knows there's times when we need rest. He knows it. He knows there's a time when we need rest, and he knows there's a time when we need, food, and there's a time when we need strength, and you can look at all that in a spiritual way, spiritual food, spiritual rest, spiritual strength. Yeah, he knows that there's physical time. We need that too. You know, he didn't ask him, he said, what are you doing out here in the desert? Man, he gave him the rest. He gave him the food. He took care of that. He got it. But at the cave. And this is after the angel had touched him, and after the angel had fed him, and after the angel had strengthened him, and he went 40 days and 40 nights, he runs to a cave. And God said, what are you doing in here? Basically, this is what he's saying. You don't need to be hiding in no cave. And how many times do we fit the bill right? See, we just like Elijah. Man, God blesses us, and God uses us to do something mighty, and the next thing you know, we're hiding, running from the enemy, looking at the circumstances, hiding in a cave somewhere. The world out there, look at us, man. We got 850 prophets of Baal, man. We got 8,500,000 prophets of Baal out here. This whole world we're living in right here. If we feel like we're outnumbered, man, people against God, against the Word of God, protesting all kinds of things, saying you can't put up manger scenes, saying you can't preach the Word of God, saying you can't have prayer in school, we think, man, let's just ball up and hide in a cave. We'll get in a monastery somewhere, build a fence. We'll build a fence all around. We already got one on this side right here. See, it started already. We'll get a fence all the way around the church, you know, and stay in here. Just stay. That's not what God wants us to do. He's saying, what are you doing in the cave right there? He said, listen, I want you to look to the future. And he went on and told him some things. In verse 16, he said, you know, you're going to anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi. You're going to anoint him to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. In other words, I already got it. Listen, what he's saying to him. And he went on, it's come to pass that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him that escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And I got 7,000 left. You know what he's really telling Elijah right there? Got this whole thing figured out, son. This is what he said. I got it all figured. Don't worry about it. I got the next king picked out. And he's going to slay a bunch of them false prophet worshiping people. And whoever he don't slay, the next guy after that's going to take care of him. And whoever's left from them, that slaying, he said, your replacement's going to take care of it. Remember, he'd been whining, I'm the only one left. God said, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed down to Baal. Don't you worry about it. In other words, Elijah, listen, you ain't got it all figured out. I got it all figured out. I've got a plan. You're on the winning side. We're going to win this deal right here. I know who's going to take the next king's place. I know who's going to take the king after that's place. I know who's going to take your place. And we're going to win. You don't have nothing to worry about. And he shouldn't have had nothing to worry about. Huh? The blessings of God. Man, what a blessing that was. All them blessings of God. We got them. And we got the promises, from God. I'm going to win. Let me ask you this. Are you looking for the blessings of God? Are you looking in the right direction? Are you looking in the right place? Are you looking at the right person? Are you looking at the past? The last point was, are you looking at the future? I didn't know if I gave you the point. That was what he showed him, the future. Huh? He said, this is the way it's going to be. Get out of that cave. Get out of that cave. It's going to be okay. The same God. Man, looking for the blessings of God. Sometimes we get a lot like Elijah. You know, that glass half full, half empty. And we can't see what God has done, but what God is doing. I think you need to look at them three things: what God has done, what God is doing, and what God's going to do. Huh? Yeah, those are the three places right there. Come on up, Paul, and we'll have an invitation. I hope that's been a blessing to you. I thought about that. That was just something laid on my heart looking at that there. I started thinking about the blessings of God.